This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
All right, welcome to the Underground. I always feel like I'm interrupting you guys. You know, I see people still taking communion. One of the things I've had to learn in recovery is to get really comfortable with awkward moments. So I'm practicing right now. See how good I am at this? It is amazing how much in recovery a person is actually not able to manage their emotions and how much that's a central piece. It's crazy when it comes down to it. What I'm not willing to feel, what I want to feel, how much it comes down to me managing my emotions. It's crazy when you think about it. Like, wow. All right, I'm going to jump up here. I'm going to start just with this diagram on the board. It's one that you guys have seen. I'm going to do it a little bit different. I'm going to leave a few things out because I want to simplify it. So this is the limited edition diagram. Okay, limited edition. Here we go. So this represents your body. Surprise, right? But we're more than a physical body, right? We're a person that lives in here. Normally, I put a personality structure here and all these things. But in my personality structure, in this person, I have both positives and I have negatives. Okay? So in using recovery language, I would say in my negatives, I have shortcomings, right? I have wrongs. I have defects of character. Right? And if you want to use other terms, you could say maybe you have trauma, you have wounds, maybe you have addictions, maybe you have fear. You know, you can name these whatever you want to name them, these negatives that plague us, but I want to kind of make these a little bit more prominent than normal. And then you have an experience in your life where God leads you to this place where He does for you what you can't do for yourself. And He meets your deepest need for love and respect by giving you a brand new identity, by calling you His own. And I'm going to diagram that with this little triangle here, like this. And I'm going to actually color this one red. This is your new identity. This is your higher self. For those of us who are into like Christian meditation, your higher self, your true self. Your true identity, your inner man, your inward man, your new nature, you're a new creation. Get it? Like, there's a lot of terms we could use for this new identity, this new place. And we do a lot of work with this. And it's super important to see this. We're doing a thing where we're going through the Beatitudes. I want to show you real quick. Matthew chapter 5, the first one we went through last week. Was blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This Bible says God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for Him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Great starting point. I think that's amazing. I think there's recovery all over that. An amazing beginning. This is Jesus in His foundational teaching, what He kind of taught as His structure, and I believe this is what He was teaching His disciples to teach. This is the entry point. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I'm bankrupt. I'm declaring bankruptcy, and I don't mean the American way where, I don't know if you guys know people that declare bankruptcy and they still have houses and boats and cars, and you're like, how are you doing this? You're richer than me, but somehow we can do that. I mean really declaring bankruptcy, spiritual bankruptcy. But the next one here says, God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Profound stuff. This is deep stuff. And that's the one I'm focusing in on here tonight. Let me just tell you guys a story here. Because I turned 50, I can tell stories now because I'm older. Let me tell you guys a story. Okay, so you get a great big backpack, right? You're going to go on a journey. You have a giant backpack, and you're packing this thing, And this backpack is full of all these little packages of really good things that you're going to bring to this faraway place. You're going to travel to this village way out, this little town. You know, you picture however you want to see it, but way, way far away, through the mountains, through the forest, a long journey. You got this backpack, and you're cramming this thing full, and it's got all these things that you're going to bring to these people. And you can see the looks on their faces, right? Like, maybe there's some toys in there for kids that they've never seen before, ever. And maybe there's some antidotes in there for things that people suffer from in this faraway place, right? And maybe there's some information, some books, some things, but there's so many powerful things that you have packed. I mean, this backpack is crammed, right, with all these good things you're going to bring. You can't wait. This is going to be quite a journey you're on, right? You guys get it? So you hoist this thing up, load this thing up, and you begin. And let's just say this is Alaska territory you're traveling through, and you're going through some hardcore country. This is pushing you hard, right? And you carry this big, heavy load, and you're on this quest, and you come around a corner, and take this at a deep level, guys. I mean, just take this, otherwise it's just a dumb story, right? Anyway, it depends on what kind of mood you're in. You come around a corner, and you come upon these bears. And I'm talking huge, monster, giant bears. Like Kodiak Island type grizzly, like the kind in the airport, you know, whatever, these big giant. Like, let's just say there's three of them, right? These gigantic beasts, and they're starving hungry. And the thought comes to your mind, you know, these things eat meat. I believe I'm made of meat, and I'm pretty much the freshest, largest meal I see around. You know, this is probably not a good thing, right? This is a bad thing. I'm in a really bad situation, and you happen to notice out of the corner of your eye, conveniently, a shelter. Okay, check this out. And it's got, like, you know, it's grown over vines and weeds and branches, but a shelter it is. And you run some calculations in your mind, and you think, I think I can do this. I got this. And you jet, right? The kind of running like with the cartoons where your head stays behind, you know what I mean? And then it catch up. I don't know if they still do that in cartoons, but they used to when I was young. And I always liked that. I thought that was cool. Like, that really, really says he was moving out, right? So you hit this shelter door, and you slam this thing behind you, right? And the bears are on that thing, man. They're just totally, they're so angry. I mean, they're woofing up some huge amounts of dirt. They're angry. They're upset. They're pacing. You can hear them. There's this little tiny window up high. And you don't know it, but this shelter is made, right? Railroad ties, like rods of iron. I mean, this thing's built. I mean, you don't know because you just landed in this thing. And you're up against the back of the wall, and your eyes are like humongous, right? I mean, you're kind of freaking out. And you're safe enough, you could lay down on the ground and watch YouTube videos. You know, but you don't know. So it takes you a while. You walk around the shelter. Hey, guys, cool. You walk around the shelter, and you kind of notice this thing's really built, man. This is awesome. Like, I'm okay. Like, I'm going to make it. Like, all right. And you peek out the window, and there they are. They're waiting. I mean, there they are, bigger than life. You're in a situation, but you're safe. Okay, you guys get it? This is pretty cool. After several days, okay, really try to get this. This is you, right? Not just after several days, after several weeks. I mean, you're going through this bag, and you're starting to go through your stuff, and you're like, you know what? I crammed this bag to the hilt. I can outlast these guys. I can stay in here for a long, long time, which is what I plan to do, right? You peek out there. I mean, they're there, bigger than life. And you're feeding through this bag, and you're thinking. And after a while, you're reaching in this bag. You're starting to pull out these things, where a lot of thought went into it. And these are gifts. These are things you could not wait to bring to these people. And you're looking at them and you start really thinking about what's going on, the situation you're really in. And you start pulling these items out. Guys, this is totally for real. You begin to grieve. And think about this. I have love. I have things that I want to bring to the world. But look at where I'm at. I'm in this place, and I'm safe. But I got these bears. I got this situation, guys, where, you know, this could represent pornography. This could represent drug addiction. I mean, we could talk hard about this. This could represent heroin. I mean, we could go into that level. It could be something else. This could be food. It could be whatever it is. And you got to think about, how do you remember being comforted or receiving comfort when you were afraid, when you were full of anxiety, when you were hurt, when you were young? How did you get comfort? Oftentimes you can discover one or two of these bears coming out of that. Oftentimes. I want to love people. Guys, I have gifts I got to bring the world. Only I can bring. I got gifts. I got love. I want to love my family. I want to love my community. But guess what? I got these blasted bears. Ah! Oh! Only I can deliver this. Yeah, I'm stuck. Anybody with me? That's a big deal. You let the reality of this hit. Romans 7, he cries out, like, I want to do what's right, right? But I can't do it. I don't want to do what's wrong, right? And he says this. This is what he says. He says, I find this law, this principle. It's like a law. That when I want to do what's right, this thing is present with me right there where I am trying to do good. Is he trying to do good, guys? Is he on his way to do good? Does he want to do good? But look at where he's at. This is such a trap. And guys, this is the part where we're talking about grieving. This guy's stuck in here, peering out of this little shelter. Is he safe? Oh, he's safe. He's going to be all right. He's going to make it. You know who you are. I'm a brand new person in Christ. I'm safe and secure in his love. But I want to bring gifts to the world. Ah, it's present with me. It stops me. It ruins me every single time. And I begin to look at the love I have, the gifts I have to bring, and I begin to grieve the loss. This is so important. This is what he's talking about, mourning. And guys, one of these for me is pornography. I have a huge history of pornography. It used to be in my life. I was spoon-fed this stuff my whole life. This has been like just saturated into my brain. And when I grieve, I'm not just grieving about me. No way. It goes bigger than that, man. We did some studying on our grandparents. These are powerful people. We looked at our photo albums, right? These are powerful men and women. I mean, powerful men. Right here in Fairbanks. They had love to bring to this world. They were unique individuals. They were powerful people. But they didn't deliver it. You know why? These same exact blasted bears. I grieve for my grandparents. I grieve for my great-grandparents. These are the family bears. You got your family bears, buddy. I'm going to tell you, you got yours. Where Satan can read that list and go, use this. This is that family. They fall for it every time. Go there. Go there. And my family's got some twisted stuff, man. It's all over as I peer out my little shelter going, I want to love people, but man, I got this stuff. Every time I go to get involved, it ruins everything in my life. It ruins it, destroys it, tempts me in every way. I grieve for my great-grandparents, my grandparents, my parents. I grieve for the loss of love they could have delivered. They could have created some amazing human beings if they would have walked in the love and the power of God free. Unbelievable what would have happened in our family had they stood up and been men of God. Wow! I grieve. Guys, I grieve. It's horrific. The destruction that was left. Where hands go, where hands aren't supposed to go. And things are happening that aren't supposed to happen. And normal is not normal. In our family line, in my history, in my generation, stuff, the generational curses and things that are handed down in my family line, guys, I grieve it. I grieve it. I am deeply impressed with it. I could go there. I could be that guy. I could be that guy in a second. In a second. It's second nature to me. I could do it. I could go there. It could destroy everything just like that. And I grieve. You get it? Blessed are those who mourn. Man, my goodness, the pain. And when you look at, from God's point of view, look at worldwide, the family history of the world, like humanity, the love that's not happening. Go ahead, try to love some people group far away and watch the garbage that starts happening. Send a bunch of money somewhere and watch what happens to your gift you want to deliver. There's going to be bears. Right then and there to stop your gift. Just stop it in its tracks. And we got to mourn. We got to mourn humanity. We grieve what was. We grieve now. We grieve the future of the brokenness and the love that will not be delivered. It was meant to be. These packages in my hand from my little backpack, man, I just cling to them and I just grieve the loss of joy and love and freedom and life that would have came from these things being delivered to where they were supposed to go. I think that's humongous. Let me show you something here. This is kind of eye-opening too. Hear this one. A good reputation is more valuable than costly perfume. And the day you die is better than the day you were born. Well, that makes me feel good. And what that's saying is the day that I die is going to tell a whole lot more about me than the day I was born. Right? I stood there at my grandfather's grave. I didn't know him very well. And I stood there and watched people I love stand on that grave and curse it. I want to light a fire on it. I'm like, whoa. And I heard their stories. I mean, the day you die will tell a whole lot more about you than your birthday, the day you were born, a cute little bundle. This is wisdom, guys. It says, better to spend your time at funerals than at parties. Huh. This is deep stuff. It says, after all, everyone dies, so the living should take this to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter. Sadness has a refining influence on us. A wise person thinks a lot about death, while a fool thinks only about having a good time. And better to be criticized by a wise person than to be praised by a fool. Heavy duty guns. This guy's coming out swinging. I'm reading this like boom, boom, boom. Whoa, I need a drink of water. That's heavy stuff. I read that churches in New England, old churches in New England, had the cemetery right there on the church property, and the windows weren't stained glass. They were clear, so the minister could see where his congregation was going to be. And it would affect his teaching. I think that's awesome. Wow, you know? What do you think a better conversation is going to come from? A richer, more real conversation is going to come from a porn star that's on the top of her game right now, super popular, super famous, rolling in the dough, or a porn star that contracted an STD, that got kicked out, that's washed up, no longer wanted, or discovered a deeper way of life? Who do you want to talk to? Do you think they're going to be different conversations? That you're going to have a different conversation? Like, I've heard them. Porn stars that have contracted AIDS and what the industry, what happened in the whole process, and they go through this deep, dark, super painful process, and you listen to them talk. Wow. But one's in the middle of the game and the glam and being showered by cars and money. What are you going to get from them? Like, what kind of conversation is going to come from them? You know, like, this is what we're saying here. This is what we're talking about here. What do you think is more beautiful to Jesus? Someone laying on the bed detoxing, moaning and groaning, or a person that's right now just starting to get high? Like, who does he want to talk to? What's beautiful to the Lord? Where does he say that mourning is better than laughter? Huh? Like, wow. What's real? Right? I think about my sister. This whole time I was doing this, her laying on our couch in the living room, detoxing from heroin, and just laying there shaking. And I'm thinking, this is one of the best times I've ever had with my sister. This is real. This is in the trenches. This is beautiful. Yeah. Let's mourn. I watched her mourn. I watched her cry. I watched her detox. I watched her embrace some painful stuff. And I think it's beautiful. And I think the Lord thinks it's beautiful when we embrace any kind of let's get real detox. Like, let's get real. Let's cut all the comfort out. Let's find out what's coming up. Let's find out what's in there. Let's cry. Let's mourn. Let's wail. Let's look out from our little safe position and see these bears that have stopped you your whole life. These are the bears that stopped your parents right in their tracks. These are the bears that stopped your grandparents. These are family bears, and they know your ways inside and out. And the first beatitude says, blessed are the poor in spirit. I can't beat those bears. I can't do it. I don't have it in me. They're so much wiser in their craft. I'm blessed to know that. The Bible says I'm blessed. Like, good job, Stan. You know that. Yes. The next way I'm blessed, mourn. Mourn the reality of this situation. I am blessed. This is the promise, you know? I see people all the time, and we talk about this. What if you inherited a great big trash pile of a house from your parents? I'm talking like floor caving in, roof caving in, all rotten, stinks, walls all moldy. Like, I'm saying, you inherited this from your folks. This was your inheritance. Yay, I get a trash pile. Awesome. That's great. Thank you. Many, many, many people have inherited in their lives, in their person, in the way to cope with life, the tools they've been given to live life by. Trash pile. Pile of rotten trash. Yay, that's awesome. First move, like, recognize it. This is a trash heap. This isn't normal. This isn't what God had for me. Next move, hit my knees and cry and grieve. This is what I inherited. Wonderful, right? And God will do something absolutely amazing. He will point out to you, hey, it's still a house. It's still on property. You inherited a life. Like, you still inherited a life. Dude, you got a life. Right? I mean, there is an eye-opening thing. But first, we have to suffer. Philippians talks about where Paul's saying, I want to suffer with Jesus. Does that click with anybody? Like, I want to suffer with him. I want to know his suffering. I mean, this could be confusing. In Acts, they talk about how they rejoiced because what? They were worthy what? They were counted worthy to what? Does that make any sense? I mean, where was Paul's mind at with this? This is deep. Guys, this is deep stuff. If you don't take this little bear story deep, it's going to be nothing to you. It's going to be, oh, he talked about the three bears, you know, whatever. He's going to serve milk and cookies next. This is deep stuff. This is the kind of stuff that will change a life. What does he mean, I want to enter his suffering? I want to know it. I want to embrace it. I want to know him that well. I'll tell you guys something real true. Many of you guys, most of you don't know me very well. And if you don't know me very well, what you're going to get from me is a joke, is a, hey, Stanborn, right? I practice that. Stanborn. Nice to meet you, Stanborn. Nice to meet you, Stanborn. Yeah, welcome to the underground, Stanborn. Yeah, nice seeing you. Yeah, that's what you're going to get from me, right? Stanborn. Yeah. All surface, joy. Yeah, good things. But you know what? There are those that really know me. They really know me. And you know what they know? My suffering. When I put my hands on my head, and I'm at the end of my rope. Not many people get to know that. What makes me cry? What gets me so depressed? Like my pain and my agony, when I go home, when I look out my window, the things that hurt me and grieve me, and now you see it? Paul's saying, you know, I want to know God, yeah, but I want to know his suffering. I want to know him. Because if you really know someone, you know their stuff. That's the intimate stuff, guys. That's the real stuff. That's the stuff of closeness. That's the stuff where you get to know someone suffering. You get to know them. Like, now you know them. And Paul's saying, no, I want the whole package. I want to know God, but I want to know his suffering. I want to be that close to him. I got closer to my sister in that time, a detox on the couch, probably than I've ever been. Why? The suffering. Like the suffering. Owie. Owie. This hurts deep. This hurts in a place I've never hurt before. Yes, I want to know that. Did everyone get to be there? Come on in our living room and watch Debbie shake? Like, wow, does it hurt? Are you hurting? No. Because you didn't know her well enough to be able to have the right to enter her suffering. This is what Paul's talking about, guys. You want that? Do you want that? I want that now. Like, now I want it. I want it. Like, yeah. Do I want the joy and majesty? Of course. But I want to know him in an intimate way. This is great, great stuff. Jesus came to this world. He laid aside his riches. He laid aside all of his servants. He laid aside so many things, but the one thing he never laid aside was his identity. He never did. And you won't be asked of that either from now on. If he's called you a son of God, you walk as a son of God. And he may ask you to lay down everything else, but you will never walk away from your new and true identity, ever. And there may be times when he is bombing your life. You're getting served divorce papers. You're getting arrested. It's raining down on you. You're losing your job. You're catching all kind of flack. And he's just pouring down, and he's raining down on you. And you cry out, God, you're hurting me. You're hurting me. And he's like, nope, I'm after those bears. I'm all over those bears, that nasty, selfish nature you got. I'm after him, and I'm going to rain it down. Had a buddy of mine, part of the military, said he is in Vietnam, and he said that when he was surrounded by the enemy, he would call for an airstrike, right? He said the first question and the most important question they would always ask is, tell me your exact position. Because when we rain it down, we don't want to hit you. I want you to know, God knows, no matter what's going on, he knows your exact position. He knows who you are. He's never going to hurt you. And I want you to know something. The first and biggest revelation in my little bear story that you got to know, if you don't get this, then you're probably not going to recover very well. Recovery will be very difficult. The first and biggest revelation you got to have if you're going to recover from this situation, first and foremost, you are not the bears. I'm not porn. I'm not drug addiction. I'm not my tendencies to go there. I'm not these cravings. I'm not these desires. Who am I? First and foremost, I'm a son of God. I'm a brand new person in Christ. I've been positioned. I am right with God. He's given me this. That's who I am. But I got these bears to contend with. See, if I am the bears, then I'll never win. You know, it's like arm wrestling myself. I'll never win. But if I'm not the bears, okay. Now there's a fight. And now I know how to fight. And it's very different. The scripture talks about here, let me show you this. Just kind of show my point here. This says here in Ephesians, throw off your old sinful nature, your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. And what's the first thing we do with that passage? What do you hear when you hear, put off your old man, put on the new? What's the first thing you think? Usually what we do with that, honestly, is we get religious and we hear, stop using porn. Stop. Right? Stop stealing. Quit it. Stop lying. Stop thinking lustful thoughts. Stop. That's what put off the old man means. That's what we do with that. That's not what he said. That's not what I just read. It's so much deeper than that. He's saying, stop seeing yourself the way you've always seen yourself. Like, you look at those photo albums, that's not who you are. Stop seeing yourself the way you've always seen yourself and start seeing yourself as a brand new creation, born of God. Whoa! See yourself as a brand new person in Christ. This is what he's saying here. He's saying. And then when you begin to walk in this, it's crazy how other things begin to change. Like, wow. I begin renewing my mind after the truth. So, this is the thing. Knowing who I am, I'm in this cabin, I'm in this place, I'm looking out, there's the bears, I'm grieving. We should be looking at these good things that we want to deliver to the world. You got them? You guys got them? Everybody got them? You got good things, gifts that only you can bring? Are you mad that you can't bring them? Have you been stopped in your tracks? Like, are you grieving? Like, I want to deliver these things? First thing and foremost, who am I? I'm God's son. I'm sent on a very special mission. I've been sent with this backpack full by God. I will deliver these things in spite of the fact I've got these bears standing out there. You have the indignation and the courage and the authority to open that blasted door and walk amongst the bears. This is crazy. This is what we've been called to do. If you grieve properly and get indignant about this situation, he promises us comfort. You know, isn't that cool that God's with us in that? You know, something that's so cool, I know this sounds weird, but when I married Glenna, another cool thing about that is she also married me. And when I was joined to God, he also joined himself to me. I mean, this is really, really super cool stuff to see. It's like a wave in the ocean. Like, let's go there, right? Let's get real spiritual. A wave is doing its wave thing, and the whole ocean's part of it. And what I'm doing out here by faith, delivering my goods, delivering my gifts, delivering what God put in my heart to bring to the world, God's doing it too, because I'm part of him, and he's part of me. So I'm pretty important. Yeah, I'm a wave, but look what's behind me, right? Pretty big stuff, right? It's cool. Let me show you this. Now, again, you got to take this to heart. This is you, right? This is where Jesus said, on that day you'll know I'm in the Father, right? Anybody know it? On that day you'll know that I'm in the Father, I'm in you, and you're in me, right? This is really deep positioning here. So he takes us, he takes you, and he puts you, puts Christ into you. Pretty powerful little envelope. Boom. Right? You want to mess with this? Anybody? This is great stuff. Then, that's not good enough. Then he takes you, and he puts you into Christ. Look out. If you get through him, you come to me, then deal with him in me. And that's not good enough, because then he takes this, and he puts it in the Father. Guys, you have been enveloped by God. I should mail this. Where would it go? I wonder what kind of postage I would need. And I'll just close out with a couple of these thoughts, because this is just really the important revelation I want you to understand is you separating yourself from the dysfunction, from your flesh, from your selfishness, all these things. It's so important to know who you are, first and foremost. But we have this whole thing like where if I turn my life over to God and give him full control, then I'm going to lose myself in some way. Like some way I'll just disappear, right? And it's just so not true. And my wife and I were looking back there, and there's that whole room of tools still back there, just a whole entire room, like almost this size, full of tools, and they're all just laying there. But, and I know that this is funny, but they all plug into the same source. And when they're all plugged into that source, I want you to know, only then do they come out and represent their own unique ability in a way none of the others can do it. I mean, they can't even come close to what each thing can do as itself empowered. And when I'm empowered by God, guys, when the Holy Spirit filled me, and I'm saying, yeah, open that door, I'm coming. I'm coming. Because greater is he that's in me than these blasted bears that have destroyed my family. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. And I'm going to deliver each and every one of these good things I have to bring. Because they're really good. They're really good. And I can only be me. And I'm not going to let it stop me. Not going to let it stop me. So I just want to close out here. My last little tip as you open the door to head out to deliver your gifts to the world, which I'm so believing you're going to do now. I really believe you guys are mad enough to do this. I believe that you've grieved enough to do this. I believe you've seen enough damage in your family to do this. I do. I believe that. I feel that tonight. That you're going to do this. You're going to open that door and say, I am going to deliver my love and my gift, and my unique talent to the world. And I'm going to do it amongst these blasted bears. I believe that's going to happen. And my last tip before you walk out of this cabin, don't feed the bears. Let me pray. Father, thank you for the shelter you've given us in your Son. We are tonight powerful sons and daughters of God. Let your courage be ours. Let your love be ours. Let the wind of change come. Like, open up our hearts and our lives, and may we see the vision of what it would look like to deliver our unique gifts in our lives to the world. A power unstoppable is the motivation of love. We are going to love. If it kills us, we're going to love. And we thank you in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, guys.